Coming up next on the Weekly Pass, we talk Barry Bonds' jersey retirement, Tiger Woods, is he back, and Mickey Spagnuolo will be our guest. All that and more coming up next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
She thinks my track is sexy.
It's so perfect.
Back-to-back country music. Do you love
we
it,
We have
Becky?
To. With our little Wonder Boy David not here, it's kind of perfect to have it.
Yeah.
All girls and sexy tractors.
Two cowgirls.
Yes.
It's good.
It's so true. So true.
Well, yeah, we don't have David here today. He had something going on for school or something. So it's just me and Becky, the girls
yes,
day.
Yes, ladies
girls
hold it
out.
Down. Yes, I love it.
It's not night, but it's, you know,
it kind of,
basically.
It can be night.
Thank you for joining us again on the Weekly Pass. I'm Bonnie Jo Laughlin and Becky Sotero, my co-host. And, you know, it's not a crazy busy time in sports, but still enough where we can get down to some nitty-gritty, you know, conversations, right?
Yes.
We have Mickey Spagnuolo, who'll be joining us in a few minutes from the Dallas Cowboys, who's been covering the team since before I even cheered, so that's saying a long time. But make sure to check us out on Twitter at BJL Weekly Pass, and we also have the chat,
live chat is hanging out. We got Star Drew and Bernard always in the house. What's up, guys?
They always are in there.
They're so loyal.
It's so loyal. We have to like get them something.
Yes.
Like loyal fans or something, right?
Well, we still owe a pie in someone's face. Remember back in the day? We'll figure that out.
But that was Josh, right?
Yeah, it was, but we'll figure it out.
So I guess David will just take it.
Yeah, we'll have him take it.
Before we get into Dallas Cowboys talk and just all NFL preseason, we'll get a little bit. You had a birthday party for your father, so you just flew back from Portland,
from
right?
Oregon, literally like 2 hours ago. Yeah, yeah. Such a fun time. My dad, his birthday is August 13th, turned 72, get the whole family together. Barbecue. It's been so hot in Oregon. So yeah, but just
it's hot in Oregon right
now? Yes, fires everywhere. I was expecting some beautiful view.
Right.
No beautiful view on the plane, just orange, literally half the state of Oregon, half the state of California, just on fire.
Perfect.
But,
and
yeah,
then I was in San Francisco, just got back for Barry's jersey retirement. And we'll get back into that more after Mickey.
Sure.
So it was a great jersey retirement, number 25. And to see the people, all the Hall of Famers that were there and the different Giants players that came back. There probably could have been more, but I guess some people don't care for Barry still.
He's still a legend. He's still for a good reason. I mean, how was the crowd's reaction?
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
You know, the fans love Barry, and he has changed. I mean, like when I talked to him back then to now, he's a completely different person.
Sure.
And so there are some grudges being held, as we know. That's why he's not in Cooperstown. But we're hoping he will be in now, because Willie Mays actually spoke on behalf of him, kind of pushing him.
So good.
We will get, you know, into that. And then I also was at the Pump Brothers, had their foundation, and they usually put on a great charity event every year, going back to helping cancer research.
Sure.
And Rod, Mickey, are you there?
I am.
Oh,
hey, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Good. You have myself and Becky, my co-host. And we wanted to talk to you because we, you know, want to know about Cowboys. And you are it when it's Talking Cowboys. I mean, you even have a show called Talking Cowboys.
How about that? So flattery will get you everywhere, right?
Mickey, how long have you been covering the team for people who don't know, the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, I started doing it kind of like a backup beat guy. Middle of the 1984 season. And then from 89 on, I've kind of been covering them on a daily basis in, you know, various forms. Now it's with basically DallasCowboys.com, the team's website, along with doing some radio and TV shows for them that we produce at their facility. Mm.
And I know Becky, back from when I cheered,
so
and he
good.
Was covering the team even before that, and he's written a bunch of books and everything. So,
oh my goodness.
If you want to know anything about Dallas Cowboys, you got to follow Mickey on Twitter because he
sure
knows
will.
Everything.
Sure will.
Now, I was at training camp and I saw, you know, this team. And, you know, with the loss of Witten and Dez, how do they overcome that? I mean, when you're missing 2,000 yards, I mean, that's a lot, Mickey. What did the Cowboys need to do to try to, you know, overcome those losses in the organization?
Yeah, and I don't know that you find like two people to like take their place immediately
right.
and replace them. That's kind of hard. So I think you'll see more of a kind of a combined effort to do it until somebody maybe emerges. I think that they've got some tight ends that have different skills maybe not all the same skills that Jason Witten did, but if you piece it together, you've got a couple guys that can do different things. I think same thing with the receiving core.
Right.
You know, they don't have a Dez Bryant there, but they've got guys that can play some football. And I think the idea is to say, okay, we're going three wide. Here's my three. Second quarter, but for this situation, here's my three, maybe not the same three, and that the ball doesn't just have to go to one person. And I think helping out with that, because everybody's going, well, everybody's going to crowd the line of scrimmage and, you know, and stop Ezekiel Elliott. Well, if you think about it, when the offense struggled last year, even with Dez there, it was because Ezekiel Elliott missed six games.
Exactly.
So I think his presence creates room to throw the football, because if they want to go, you know, eight man fronts, then you've got receivers that are basically going to be covered one on one. And I would imagine, you know, if you kind of have the right guys to do that, they should be able to get open the majority of the time. So we'll see if that plays out the way I think a lot of us suspect. And, you know, even last year, the first eight games, I mean, everybody knew how good Ezekiel Elliott was. And you know, they've faced eight man fronts before and they've run on them. So I'll be interested to see how defenses treat this now.
Now, when I was speaking with Coach Garrett, he did say that this is a very young team and these young guys are going to have to step up. And it kind of reminded me of him of the 89 team. Is this kind of the same thoughts that you have, Mickey, that this is a young team and it's kind of different from the past years?
Yeah, this isn't Tony Romo's team. All right. It is a young team. And when you start looking at it and, you know, the amount of experience on the team, it's not that much. They've only got three guys that are at least 30 years old that will make the team. And two of them are special teams guys, the kicker and the deep snapper. So, you know, from a position standpoint, Sean Lee's the only 30 year old on this team. I think I counted up, you know, the 90 guys that are at training camp. Currently, if you just look to see who's been in the league at least 3 years, it's only about 25 or 30 guys. The rest of them are very young, maybe going into their third year at the most. So, yeah, it's a very young team. But you know what? When it's the Dallas Cowboys, the expectations don't ever change. You know, the expectations are still the same that, oh, this is going to be a good team. They're going to win 10, 11, 12 games. Well, we'll see how that plays out, but it's not easy when you have that many young guys that you're playing with in significant situations.
Now, speaking of young players, I was actually happy with the draft and how the Cowboys drafted. They, you know, drafted guys that they really need, you know, a linebacker or an O-lineman. How are those guys doing in camp, Mickey? How is Esch and Williams doing?
Yeah, Leighton Vander Esch, I think he's coming along. It's like every day you see him get a little better, a little better. They ask him to do a little bit more, a little bit more. So I'm not sure exactly what his role will be, but I could see him coming in at linebacker with Sean Lee on the nickel defense and have Jalen Smith basically play on the base defense and kind of share those two positions with three guys. I think Connor Williams has stepped right into that starting left guard spot. Now, he's a rookie. He's going to have some struggles. He's finding out what it's like to play against grown men, not some, you know, kid that's 2 years out of high school. So he's got to get stronger. He eventually will, but he's got really good feet, and it sort of makes up a lot of times for his lack of strength. Michael Gallup, the third round draft choice, receiver. The wide receiver from Colorado State. I think I'm going to say the fifth game of the season, if he's not starting, he'll be starting by then. He may be the most complete receiver they have on this team from a matter of speed, size, and ability to run routes and catch the ball. And of late, one of their two fourth round picks, Dorrance Armstrong, he's the defensive end from Kansas, has been shown that he's got some pass rush ability, some unique pass rush ability. Now, he may not be strong enough to deal with the running game just yet, but I could see them spotting him and in pass rush situations. And then the bonus on us all and he's not a rookie. He's not a draft choice, but Randy Gregory's making a comeback. And from what we've seen in a couple padded practices from him, he's still got the skills to turn that corner and rush the quarterback. So I'll be very interested to see how far along he comes in a short time.
And I know these young guys are going to have to fill these holes, but I mean, I thought, and I know you probably agree, Mickey, that the Cowboys had a great draft. They really filled the void that they needed. And I know these guys are young, but I think it's something for the future. It's really going to help, because I know people wanted maybe a flashier type pick, first round or, you know, second or third, but they actually, I think they were very successful in the draft this year, and they have been the past couple of years.
They basically had a checklist, and they checked off their needs. Number one was they needed a linebacker that if Sean Lee went out again, the entire defense didn't crumble, right, like it did last year.
Right.
They needed an offensive lineman to play that left guard spot and then figure out, okay, these veteran offensive linemen we signed in free agency, they can serve as a backup at tackle if Tyron Smith gets hurt again. All right, you bring in Connor Williams, and they had signed Cameron Fleming, and so now he's kind of the swing tackle, and they got to hope that if Tyron gets hurt, the offense doesn't go to pot just the way it did last year when he got hurt, because Chaz Green or Byron Bell couldn't do the deal out at left tackle. So those were two important things. And then after you move on from Dez and Bryce Butler, well, you needed another wide receiver. Well, they got Michael Gallup in the third round, and I've seen no reason why he wasn't drafted higher than the third round. So, you know, from that standpoint, if those were the top three needs, it's like check, check, check. So,
I
thought it was a good draft. Now these guys have to play to be able to fulfill those spots.
Sure. Mickey, Becky here. Nice to meet you. So everybody wants to know what's happening with Dez. Can you talk about that? I mean, I think we all know Cleveland, right? I mean, we're pretty much assuming Cleveland. But, you know, we know Jarvis Landry's excited to play with him. How do you think that will play out, especially with Baker Mayfield being, you know, the quarterback and that kind of newness of having a new quarterback? How do you think those things will gel? I know that's kind of outside of Dallas Cowboy talk, but everybody wants to know what's happening with Dez.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, if he ends up there, for sure. You know, look, you're out of a job, and it's August, what are we at? August 14th, getting ready to play the second preseason game. You know, you can't get real choosy. And if you get an opportunity, you better make it work, no matter, you know, who's playing quarterback or who.
Or that's Cleveland.
You know, he and Landry aren't really the same type of wide receivers. So I don't see where, you know, either one of them would get in each other's way.
Right.
So, and I'm thinking, you know, in this day and age, and even if he's not making, you know, $10 to $12 million a year, when you're in the league for your, it'll be his ninth year, you know, if somebody pays you $3 million, that's pretty darn good when you're getting ready to turn 30. So I'll be interested to see how this turns out.
Do you think he would gel well with them?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see him walking in there and acting like, you know, he's Mr. Big Shot and big time people. I think that he would go in and you know, mind himself and fit right into whatever offense they want to develop.
Let's be honest, Mickey. I did not think that we'd be here second week of August and Dez still did not have a job. I mean, considering he had that opportunity to go to Baltimore and he didn't like that situation, are you shocked that he's still in this, you know, kind of limbo situation?
Oh, a little bit, but I always thought it wouldn't be till training camp, and I always thought that as soon as somebody gets hurt, somebody will say, oh, okay, we need a wide. Oh, Dez is out there, right? I mean, even if you sign him as your second or third wide receiver, no matter what you think of him or how he played last year, he's going to be better than anybody else you have as a second or third wide receiver. So as long as his ego doesn't get in the way, I think that would work out just fine.
Right. That was the problem, is he always wants to be the number one option. Sure. So, yeah, you're right.
Well, and he was.
Right.
And he should have been. So now we'll find out if that, you know, if you don't have a number one option, how well it works out.
Now, Mickey, speaking of Dak, what does he personally need to do this season to have a, you know, a successful one? I know people are wondering how Dak's going to do, you know, it's a different team, and how he will show up.
same thing he did the first 24 games of his NFL career. You know, people forget he went 13-3 his rookie year. They were 5-3 last year before Tyron Smith got hurt and Ezekiel Elliott got suspended. And then all of a sudden the offense went downhill and the entire responsibility by men, they put it on Dak, which was very unfair because they had no longer a threat in the running game. I mean, a threat to like score touchdowns anytime you touch the ball. And then when your left tackle can't protect you, you're going to have struggles. So all I know is 13-3 and 5-3 adds up to 18-6 of your first year and a half in the league. Indeed. That's pretty darn good.
It is good.
So yeah, when people tell me, oh, he's got to prove this or else, it's like, well, how did he do that the first year? Go 13-3. It wasn't a mistake.
It was not.
It wasn't by accident. So all he's got to do is just go out and play football. That's all. Run the offense and keep Ezekiel Elliott on the field.
Now, Mickey, before we let you go off the field, Dak has been pretty vocal about how he thinks that players should stand for the anthem. Same with Mr. Jones. I'm with them as well.
No, wait. Hold on one second. He didn't say players should stand. He said, I will stand.
I will stand.
He didn't say what everybody else should do. He's saying
that he personally is going
to
stand.
We've decided we're going to stand, and I don't have any problem with that. So,
and then he's got
thanks,
Mickey. And then he's got a lot of backlash for that. Even, you know, someone defaced one of his murals they had in Texas. What are your, you know, thoughts on that? Because I love the fact that he did, you know, not back down, and he didn't actually retract his statements even after he got the backlash.
Yeah, and so everybody wants to have an opinion on it, but if that opinion doesn't agree with yours, there's a backlash, right?
Yep,
I mean, that's the genesis of protest, right?
So
we have different opinions on things. And I think his point was, okay, what happened last year with some of the kneeling that took place called attention to this problem, right? Now, what do we do after that? Because if we sit here and all we do is kneel, it doesn't do anything to tackle the problem. Mm-hmm. So let's go to the next step. And that was his point. What's everybody doing? You know, are you just kneeling? Oh, big deal. You get a little grass stain on your knee, right? But what are you doing in the off season to help promote equality and make sure that the, you know, the police and everything's working out right? So, I thought what he said was very thoughtful, and the fact that he said it the way he said it and he didn't back down, I got to give him a lot of credit.
I do too, a lot of respect. And you're right, Mickey. The problem is that there's nothing. It was silent in the off season. No one did anything. You know, and that was a very good point.
What initiative started by anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all you want to do is argue about kneeling. Well, okay, fine, but what does that accomplish? We've seen it. We understand it. You know, and the fact that it got carried away because there wasn't that many guys kneeling, right? It was
a couple,
maybe
on
a
each
dozen
team, right,
across the league. And then all of a sudden the president says what he says about the players and call them SOBs. Now everybody's upset. They were more upset with that than what was actually taking place.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's interesting though, but you made a very good point though, that he didn't say everyone should, you know, stand, but that him, you know, himself personally is going to stand and that he respects, what the national anthem and the flag means.
So
Mickey,
good.
One more question, then you're out. I know you got to get going. Is there anyone, people are listening that they, is there outbreak kind of, player that you think that people should look out for that you've been seeing during camp? Someone that, no one's talking about, that kind of like your diamond in the rough.
Yeah. Like two guys, Michael Gallup, I mentioned his
right.
name, the wide receiver. I think for a rookie, he looks like he's got a lot there. And then this guy came out of nowhere, first-year defensive tackle, Antoine Woods. He's actually from Southern Cal. He played his college ball there. Played a couple games for Tennessee over the last 2 years. Most of the time he was on his practice squad. And I remember when the Cowboys signed him, it was like, oh, okay. You know, the kind of a free agent out there, you know, and then like he was in training camp for a week. And then that second week, it was like, who's this 64 guy? He's starting to show up. And the next thing we knew, They get to the blue-white practice they had, mm-hmm. and he's working with the first team at the one technique, defensive tackle, and he's still working with the first team. So out of nowhere, they might have found somebody. Now, it was only one preseason game, so let's see what happens going forward. But for any Cowboy fans out there or anybody watching the team, just keep an eye out for 64.
So he's going to make this team, Mickey.
Well, at this point, if they have to cut it, he would make the team. Now, there's a ways to go, though, right? Mm-hmm. September 1st is, two and a half weeks away. So we'll see how it turns out for him.
All right. Well, thanks, Mickey.
So good.
It's always so great to talk to you.
Okay, you guys.
I always appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Nice meeting you.
See you guys.
Bye.
Uh-huh.
So
good
all
stuff.
All
I love that you asked that question. That was in my notes. Like, I wanted to know who he thinks is standing out. Like,
yeah, just that breakout, you know,
yeah.
kind of player that,
yeah.
you know, that's kind of, yeah. you know.
Yeah.
Oh. That people don't think about. Because, you know, it's always yeah. the same ones that are kind of talked
sure.
about. You know,
sure.
I think it's kind of neat to get that, you know, kind
Inside
of person.
Scoop.
Yeah. And then
so
we,
good.
And then we can look out for them. And
I know. I'm going to be like, 64.
Right?
Mickey said.
Sorry for everyone who's maybe not a Cowboy fan, but we'll be, you know, going through every team,
yeah.
you know, throughout the year.
Yeah.
Obviously, we started
oh, it's just
out
pre-season.
With my Cowboys, but
we're just salt and peppering things right
just
now.
Just a little bit. So, yeah, so we now know, you know, kind of what's yeah. going on with
Good.
The Cowboys.
Yeah.
I did want to ask him also, you know, because Dak has been getting a lot of backlash. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mm-hmm. I had to ask how, you know,
sure.
personally he's doing.
Sure.
Because it's not right, you know, because, yeah. you know, everyone has an opinion.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, you know,
it's
if
just,
other people have opinions, it's not okay.
Yeah, but they have an opinion, but they're not much is justified. They're just speaking and just throwing
and
things
like
at the wall.
And like what we spoke about, like if the whole issue of what you're doing is getting, you know, kind of confusing
yeah.
and
yeah.
not sending the correct message,
sure.
take it somewhere else.
Agreed. Yeah, and then, I mean, just the whole situation.
And all the guys that, you know, besides Cap, who, you know, everyone else, what are you doing?
Yeah.
No. You know, on the off season? What are you
yeah.
doing on your day off on
yeah.
Tuesday?
Yeah. No, I love you guys are talking about that because it's so true. People will kneel and protest and do everything they need to do, but actions, you know, in this case, definitely speak louder than words. You know
right.
what I mean? Like they need to be proactive. So
right. And something else that that's controversial mm-hmm. is Barry Bonds. We were speaking about Barry before we went to Mickey, and Barry his jersey retired. If you're just catching up with us now, and there is still the talk, Becky, mm-hmm. about why he is not in Cooperstown, and
yeah.
Willie Mays was not supposed to talk at his ceremony.
Okay,
and he said, give me the mic, and when Willie Mays wants to speak, you let him
speak.
yeah. And so Willie spoke, and he kind of used that platform as, why isn't Bonds in the hall?
Sure.
And, you know, you look at, I'm not trying to call out guys, but you look at the Piazza and Bagwell and Pud Rodriguez, mm-hmm. They did PEDs, okay? They were juicing. So
sure.
why isn't Barry or Roger Clemens, you know, mm-hmm. in the hall? And if you look at Barry Bonds' numbers before any of this,
sure.
he was already on his way mm-hmm. to make it in the hall.
Yeah.
Look at how he was when he was a Pirate. He was already on his way.
Sure.
So why is he not in there?
Well, what is your speculation? What is the overall
speculation? I mean, a lot
of
it, I think, is more of just, like, if you look at Bags, you know, Jeff mm-hmm. Bagwell, and you look at Pudge, and you look at Piazza, they, maybe not Piazza as much, but they
sure.
really got along with the media. Yeah, mm-hmm. and they knew how to play the game, you know, the game with, you know, making
yes,
sure that you
yes.
kind of
you're
cordial to the guy, you know,
yeah,
you always kind of
yeah.
keep that
pat in the tails.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Barry didn't do that. As we
sure.
all know, Barry was, you know, not the best clubhouse guy. He wasn't great with the media.
Mm-hmm.
He went out there and, you know, wanted to get his, you know, he never won a World Series. They lost to the Angels in that World Series. But he individually, you know,
but
he wanted
to. But as a player,
to,
he deserves to be there. Yeah.
He deserves to be there. And, you know, I have seen just a difference. You know, people may think it's not authentic and genuine
mm-hmm.
How he is now and that he's just being nice to people because now he knows that's what he needs to
sure.
do to get it, to
sure.
make it in. But you look at the best home run hitter of all time
sure.
and he's not in there.
Terrible. And I mean, do you think, I mean, this is kind of comes back to the personality thing because he didn't, again, pat the tails of
right.
the press. And
I mean,
he,
same thing with Terrell Owens kind of too.
Yes.
Right.
But again, the conversation should be that their individual athleticism, their craft
Thank
is
you.
What should get them
and
into
that's
the Hall
what
of
always
fame.
Bothers me about
right.
that these certain members that vote.
Sure.
You've never put on a uniform.
Sure.
Am I right? And now you're going to determine if that guy who worked his tail off to, you know, be out there every day to be the best.
His skill was laid out on the field, whether he was.
Yeah. And we're members of the media, but I still don't agree that some people can just say, well, this guy, because he was rude to me and he didn't answer my questions I want, or he, you know, whatever it may be.
But when did the Hall of Fame become about personalities, about your talent?
It is so much now. Think about it, like with certain players that don't get in because they weren't good with the media, or they weren't maybe great with the fans, or they didn't sign every autograph for every person and ask them to. Like, that's not, if you really want to just go by, it's the best that played in the game.
Absolutely. Do you feel like it's always been that way, or it's been a shift?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's kind of gotten worse, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe now with social media and people, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe in the last decade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know enough, honestly.
I think it's gotten worse. And then you look at, like, Barry, let's take his bat away. He was 8 Golden Gloves.
Mm.
Okay? It's not, and then if you look at, his stats, I mean, 700 intentional walks in his career, which is like crazy. Yeah. I mean, like, you look at guys, now they have, 150, 200 strikeouts, where Barry had 46. I don't know.
Good looking photo there.
I don't know. It's just crazy to me. You just look at like his individual stats, and I had to be kind of reminded of those when I was there, just looking over everything. And it's just crazy. His numbers are crazy. And again, take away, what you have about his personality and attitude.
Of course.
And I don't know, the steroids probably, kind of had a kind of attributed to why he was kind of moody and snapped.
Very much.
And then again, if you want to argue about, the PEDs, well, it was a level playing field. Look at the pitchers. Eric Gagne, all those pitchers that he was throwing to, they were juicing.
Sure.
Well, you want to get down to it.
Did it affect their personality the way it did, for Bonds?
I'm just saying it's a level playing field, too, So, I mean, we'll see. I really love what Willie said. People don't know Willie is Barry Bonds' godfather.
Mm. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So he's been around Barry since he was little and saw, that this guy who's got holds the record for single season and the most home runs, in career is still not in the Hall. And I just think it's sad.
And we talked about this
a little bit. Or if you want to go on the other side, maybe even Pete Rose. Like, there's just guys that need to be in there.
Sure.
And it bothers me that
they're
not.
Well, with Pete Rose, is it the same situation? Is it just come back to just
No, I mean, that's all because of the gambling and betting on the game. His is different. Yeah. Again, it just, I don't know.
Is it too late for him to be
No, I mean, it's never too late for these guys. I just don't want to see these guys in a wheelchair and a walker finally getting in the Hall.
Sure.
You know that that's the only thing, like, once they have that, I feel like their life
is complete.
That's why you see, when you talk about in Canton for the NFL Football Hall of Fame, they say the guys who, the Jerry Kramers and the guys who waited for so long, they'll say, I'm finally home. Yes. That is all they want.
Sure.
They can finally almost like breathe and be like, everything I did in my career is now, is here forever in this hall.
Right. Well, you said off air that the fan reaction was great. So, I mean,
Giants fans, love. Barry, regardless, because, seeing what he did and like every time he went to the plate, whether you're a Giants fan or not, you were excited to see what he was going to do, So it'll be interesting to see if anyone was, listening to Willie Mays' speech, which I'm sure they were, the voters.
Sure.
And if it's going to help this, because right now it looks like he needs about 21, 23 more guys to go on the other side and vote him in.
Never know. You never know.
So
hopefully that will play that whole retirement jersey, the whole situation will help play into it in a positive way.
So we'll see. Moving on, in other news, is Tiger back? Because I was so excited. I'm not the biggest golf fan. I mean, I watch the Masters and I watch, some
you don't
of the
have
big,
to be excited about this.
But I am a huge Tiger Woods fan. And I think he's great for golf.
Yeah.
Because you and I both know, mainstream-wise, golf isn't, it's not the... You don't just flip on golf.
No, you don't.
But when Tiger's playing,
there he is.
You do.
And
he was back, the fist pumps and everything.
Oh, my God.
Okay, yes, he got second in the PGA Championship. But it was like he won. I hate to say, you know what I mean?
It was.
And Bruce Koepka, who's actually won 3 in the past 6. I mean, I hate to, it kind of took away from it.
It totally did. But he's also right now slaying the golf game. So
God, ridiculous. He's kind of like, it's crazy how underrated and no one's talking about him.
100%.
But he's been totally overshadowed by
but that's
Tiger
what's funny is that Tiger's second place has actually kind of given Brooks his, his fame in a way. I mean, he's so good and he's so prominent in the golf world, but this one match just I feel really bad for Brooks, honestly.
Right. And watching Tiger, you could see, I mean,
oh yeah.
And it's crazy because you could see the fans. I mean, yep. They're, you know, in Missouri, and the fans there were like just cheering him on, and he said he was so grateful for the fans being there and just, you know, kind of just motivating him and boosting morale and sticking with him through everything. And people were even asking, okay, what happens? Will he make the Ryder Cup team?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. There's so many. I just love that he's just kind of back. I do too.
But there's so many skeptics that are saying, well, it's very, very, very rare for someone over their 40s.
Right.
I think there's like three people who have actually won a major like this.
Right.
And for him to get that close, it proves he's still resilient. He's still in it.
And I hope he makes the Ryder Cup team just because I think it's.
How can
again,
he not
it's again
this.
Great for golf.
Yeah. No, it's so good. I actually watched part of it because my dad's into golf. But I was just like, this is like the old days. I mean, you see him in 2000, he was just. Back to Tiger.
And it's crazy. You see Tiger and then you see Brooks. And Brooks, it's funny, like his body type is so different from regular golfer. He's like all like
he's like
ripped
beefy.
Up in his arms. I mean, when he drives the ball, like you're like, oh, wow. It's like he's a different type of golfer.
And like you said, you hit it on the head. It's good for golf. I don't know if you know this, but 69% of the ratings were up. For this game.
See, I didn't know that.
69% for golf.
Wow.
Like that
well,
in
I know
itself.
That I was at the Giants game, but I kept going on my phone to see how Tiger was doing. Like, I was totally into it.
So good. So,
so I'm happy. I think it's great.
Shift.
And I know that the PGA is happy.
Very happy. Yes, this is doing good things for them.
And then a guy named Carmelo Anthony. He is now officially...
signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah, with the Rockets. I don't know, like, how is this going to work? Because he's going to have to come off the bench.
Yeah.
And D'Antoni dealt with him before in New York.
In New York, yep.
And I just think he's got to, again, talking about ego. You know, a lot of these players, you know, ego, we were talking about, does have ego. Can he come off the bench and be okay with it, you know?
With playing with Harden, playing with Chris. Well, Chris is excited to play,
and they're
so hopefully
all excited,
that'll be a good dynamic.
You know, I know they're going to kind of try out some different lineups, but I'm just curious to see the rotation and how it'll work out
because
he has an ego and he, you know, but I think he needs to know that. What if he come off the bench, he could be phenomenal and be sixth man of the year. You know what I mean? There could be something.
Totally. Totally. And he might play
great.
Well, we know that. So D'Antoni, as you said,
D'Antoni,
is that how you say
D'Antoni?
I'm the worst at pronouncing names. I'm just calling him D. Coach D from the Knicks. So he keeps saying though that it's a different ball game. It's a totally different situation than when they played. You know, when he coached at the Knicks. So what do you think that is? What do you think that formula is?
Well, especially with having Harden and Chris Paul, and you've got two, you know, all stars.
Sure.
And like we always say, there's not enough balls on the court for everyone.
Yeah.
So I think he needs to know that they are going to try some different, you know, type of combos and look at, you know, talk with the coaches, look at analytics, kind of just see how it works. Especially they can figure a lot of that out in the fine tuning during the preseason and to see, you know, what will work.
But he wasn't shy.
You know, and their main thing is what the Rockets, you know, have said last year and now they're saying this year, we want to be able to compare and beat the Warriors.
Sure. And I don't know how they.
The Rockets got. They added Carmelo. Mm-hmm. The Warriors added DeMarcus Cousins. When DeMarcus is healthy, I mean, do you still see it's still good?
Off balance.
Beyond what the Warriors already have.
Yes, yes. And we already know the West is so deep.
Stop.
Like, I don't know how anybody's ever going to get past the
Warriors. And they also announced the NBA season, the games. And if you saw, the Warriors and the Lakers will be going head-to-head on Christmas Day.
They will. And the Lakers are playing Portland for their game opener in Portland.
Yes.
I was like, I should fly up there.
Right. There's a lot of games. I know some people had said, well, why aren't the Lakers on more national games?
Mm-hmm.
You know, throughout the year, we'll see how that. Panda, they can always change some things, but it'll be interesting to see how well the Lakers do on this big stage now. The Lake organization's used to, but I'm just talking about, you know, this new team.
Sure. No, it's going to be good. I just, this whole, the Melo signing and all of this, though, I just still can't get over. I just want to know how it's going to gel, because I think it would just be so
I'm not a Carmelo Anthony fan. I think he's a cancer, but we'll see.
Yeah, and that's what the coach has been saying, too, is that their styles clash. So I'm just wondering, because he's wearing a different jersey, I'm wondering how that's still going to blend. But maybe having Harden
and
Chris in there.
It's all about chemistry. We all know that. You can have a ton of, you know, talent and all sorts, but it's all about the chemistry and how they can, you know, make
that work. So you think he'll start,
I think he should come off the bench, but we'll see.
Okay. I don't know.
We'll see. And then also, Bruce Bowen had some words. I don't know. You can probably pull it up. Some words to say
he did.
In regards to Kawhi. I don't think what he said was that bad.
Not at all. I'm totally on the boat of not thinking it was bad at all.
And, you know, if you think about it, he basically was kind of telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And I think what people are upset about is with the Clipper organization is that they are going to go full court press to go get Kawhi in 2019. Yep. And they think having Bruce there saying the statements that he did is
would, turn I guess, off. Them. Yeah, of course.
So they get rid of him because they really want Kawhi. Kawhi really wants to be in a Laker uniform, not a Clipper uniform.
Yeah.
But yeah, they got rid of Bruce, and I think people are, you know, saying in the Spurs organization that he basically was kind of sticking up for the Spurs.
Yes.
You know, a team where he won three championships, yes, where his jersey's been retired. And
right.
I just don't disagree with what he said. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do have to be careful when you are covering a team, and mm-hmm, you can't completely bash a player that
I can read what he said. I don't feel like he bashed it. I think part of it, too, is that they were questioning his just loyalty and questioning, like,
for the Clippers.
Yeah,
exactly. And you can read what he actually said.
I think it was more of questioning, like, his objectivity, and that's something to be said. But so his words exactly. I think there's nothing but excuses going on, Bowen continues. First it was, well, I was misdiagnosed. Look here, you got $18 million a year, and you think that you're trying to that they're trying to rush you. You didn't play for most part of the full season, and you're going to your go-to guy. You're the franchise, and you want to say that they're the best interest at heart. Are you kidding me? So I mean, he did.
I think people are saying that he gave his loyalty to the Spurs instead of the team that he's working for.
Sure, but what he's saying, I don't feel like there's anything in there.
I don't think there's anything wrong with anything he said. I think a lot of it was truth.
He was just saying,
you have to remember, Kawhi was very difficult with the Spurs and with Popovich and how he handled that and the injury and wanted to go outside the team to rehab. And there's so many things that he said that were basically spot on, but he knows, as you know, a professional and a TV analyst for the team. It's not like he's a national
to keep
TV
a cap on it.
That
he
had to kind of.
But I mean, even here, he said, I think he's getting bad advice. So with that regard, he wouldn't be on the Spurs side. Like, if anything, he's saying like he's getting bad. I don't know. I'm confused. I guess it's on the journalistic
side.
And if
you read on
bad.
Social media, most are thinking that it was not really terms to fire him.
No. So I feel like there's something else going on there. Or maybe they just don't want someone to. I mean, three titles.
And Arash Marchese, who's a friend of ours, he actually said that there were other things going on
with
Bruce. And, you know, the straw that burns the camel's back. Okay, now we can get rid of him because he said this.
Sure, because I'm just, I don't, with his credentials, it doesn't make sense. He would just say something, basically saying, well, there's just excuses going on, and he was saying he's misdiagnosed leads to being fired. But I don't know.
Yeah, so
there's always some kind of conspiracy.
We'll see if he gets a job somewhere else or what's going to go on, or if the Clippers even end up getting Kawhi. They have the cap space, and, you know, I know Jerry West really wants to go hard for him. But
I mean, David's not here, so I can talk it. I just like those Clippers. I mean, I worked for him, so I'll be careful, too.
Yeah.
But it's just they can't ever seem to really They're just so hungry for really great talent, and they're willing to just.
And they
whatever.
Really want someone that could be the face,
of
the team. And
but will he go? You know what I mean? I feel like it's just a lot they're doing for next season.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing is, why would they let him go now? I don't know. I guess they just don't want the association.
Yeah, because they know that Kawhi probably is somewhat sensitive, right?
Yeah.
So is
very true.
Will know all the different things that are coming out of that, you know, organization.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I get it. I get it. What the Clippers are saying, but at the same time, I just don't think it was that big of a deal. That's something that's kind of depressing. Jordan McNair, I think you remember when I remember when that happened in June. The 19-year-old that died from the heat stroke at Maryland. Now, Coach Durkin, DJ Durkin, is now on administrative leave, and there's possible wrongful death suit. I didn't realize a lot of the details until I, read about it. Is that they took an hour before they called 911.
Yeah, they did. And that's actually where most of this
and
coming
EMTs
from.
Have said that, I guess, that, I mean, obviously, hours a long time. So, especially with heat stroke. They said even 30 minutes.
He was in
helped.
A seizure for an hour. So, that's where a lot of this, like,
why didn't they call? I'm not seeing why they didn't.
That's the investigation. And
now Durkin, I guess, wasn't even there in that area. It was assistants.
Yeah, it was the assistant coach. But also what's happening is that now other people are speaking up. Other players are saying, well, drinking water was frowned upon. It was seen as a weakness. And so I think that
it was frowned upon when I cheered for the Cowboys too. We weren't supposed to drink water.
That's awful. Like, I don't even know what to say to that, especially in the heat that these poor boys are playing in.
And they're saying that Durkin, I guess there's a lot of bullying or intimidation or so forth. Okay, so is there that, or is it that a lot of these millennials and these kids are softer?
Are not being used to being pushed.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just going to say, because I know a lot of skippers and managers and coaches I talk with, and they always say these younger kids are not used to, like, really hard work ethic sometimes. Sure. They're babied. Sure. And they don't – again, I'm not
– No, I agree.
This is separate from what we're – obviously, this is horrific what happened to him. But I'm saying separately, there's just a lot of these – young kids that just can't be pushed, and they, you know, they're babied. And
they're just
kind of
phoning it in. Sure.
And I don't agree with that. Like, these athletes, look back in the day when these athletes, you know, how many, you know, they played game after game. They didn't complain. They weren't making any of the money that these, you know, and there's always just, I don't know, it's just different the way these generations
are. I think it's such a valid point to bring up, because there is a fine line between,
look at these coaches, like, back in the day, and they'd be yelling at their players, and it motivated them, and they wanted to win. Yeah. Now some of these guys are such...
You're so tough on me.
I won't use the word, but you know what word I'm going to use, and they're like babies, or another word, and they don't want to, you know, have their coach, you know, tell them what to do, or it's too much, and they're crying in the clubhouse. Like, come on.
Yeah, the question
like,
is...
man up. You're a professional athlete, or you're going to be a professional athlete. Sure. That's what it takes to get to that, down that road.
And the question is, are they being pushed too far without the, you know, the water, the provisions, the snacks,
water,
the breaks?
I get that. Water and stuff like that, of course. That's, you know, but I'm just saying other things. When bullying or intimidating, I mean, that's like, okay, then don't be an athlete, don't be in the military.
Of course. No, of course. Right? I'm totally on board with that. I mean, like you said,
our chat thinks, but I just,
to get to the elite level, you have to,
And it's hard work. It's not for everyone. If it's not, get out.
Yeah, well, the Star Drew thinks, don't push so hard. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
Well,
I
mean, don't be an athlete. Do something else.
Yeah. Or, I mean, the other question is, did he have a prior injury? Did he have a prior condition in this case with...
Well, this case separately. But about these other players coming forward, former players that were saying they, you know, the coach is hard on you.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know
how they could deal with, you know, some of these coaches in the NFL then, if they can't deal with their college coach.
And that's where you weed out to who's actually going to be an elite player at that level. Because you're right. Like, you're not going to be
tampered. I
mean, I
have seen coaches, you know, screaming at players, and it gets them all riled up, motivated, and, or, you know, I'm going to prove you wrong, or whatever it may be. But if you can't handle a coach yelling at you, then you're in the wrong game.
Right. So you heard things about other players being upset about his intimidation level. Yeah.
Things, bullying.
And to
is
me,
there such
that's,
thing as bullying when you're a coach?
Right. And I mean, to me, that's
this isn't Pee Wee football.
Right.
If it's Pee Wee football,
of course. We're talking, college,
you know,
ball.
Or Little League baseball. Yes, that's totally different. But I the reason I'm saying is because I just, you know, talked to so many, you know, coaches and skippers who talk about this young, you know, era and they need to be babied all the time and they're handheld and this and that. And so
just more of a lackadaisical, lazy effort put forth. Yeah, everything's just meant to be given to you.
Given, right? Everything's handed to you.
Yeah, I want more for less. Yes. It's terrible.
I mean, look at even college. Like, if I went to college now and I could Google and I could do everything on my, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I was in a library with encyclopedias.
Thank you! Yeah. Encyclopedias. Do 20-year-olds want encyclopedias?
No, that doesn't even exist. But with that said, so President Lowe from the university did speak up, and they're completely, for good reason, on the side of the gentleman who passed away.
Of course.
So
I still understand why they didn't call.
Do you think
after,
he'll be let go then?
I don't know.
Because right now, nothing, I mean, he's just on the leave.
The AD, I think, wants to let him go. And, and I think the public pressure is going to.
Yeah. Oof. It's, you know.
It's sad, though.
I mean, it's so sad. Because a player dies on your watch.
It could have been prevented.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. A player dies on your watch, you're kind of out of the, you're out at that point.
Right. So we'll see how that kind of the investigation goes, because I know that's what they're doing. But there is going to be a wrongful death suit, which there should be.
Absolutely.
Also, have you been watching any of NFL preseason? I know this is the...
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. And also, I really want to get your opinion on fantasy football, because I know nothing about it.
And so I know
want
you want
to
get
and our viewers
I know,
to know
you want to get into it.
I do. Yeah. And
so if there's a league that you want Becky to join,
let
Becky
me know.
Will.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe we should do it. I'm just so... darn busy.
But
I don't
how
know,
does
but,
it work? I mean, do you buy into it? Like,
yeah,
just
I mean, there's some that are buy-ins, some that are not.
Okay.
And then you can win money still at the end.
Okay, so you can win money.
Yeah, and it's easier than doing fantasy baseball or basketball where you're constantly having to change your lineups. This is easy. You pick one defense, you pick, you know, different players. You can switch them out when they get hurt. You can So,
All right. I'm gonna do some research. But, I mean, it's like there's a marathon going on right now. Everybody's doing
and
it.
And fantasy is huge. I mean, yeah. I think it's fun. Me personally, I don't like it. Me personally, because I don't like that I have to root against my team in situations. Like, if, okay. you know, that's yeah. the thing I don't like.
Okay.
You know, because I'm diehard about my teams. And yeah. so if I have, you know, the Rams defense and they're playing my Niners, then yeah. I got to root for the.
So
do you see what I'm
is
saying?
Is it broken out from defense, offense? Like how?
Well, just defense. It's okay. just one okay. team, but then the rest are all individual
oh my
players,
gosh.
You know, but I just, that's what I don't like personally is I just don't like the fact yeah. that I have to root against my team yeah. at certain points yeah. where I want this receiver to get so, you know, this running back to get so many yards, this receiver gets so many catches, you know, and then I'm rooting against my own team.
I thought you were picking and choosing players to create your fantasy team, but it's not like that then.
Well, yeah, you are.
Okay.
But you okay. can't pick all, that's like for you, yeah. you
I can't pick all my Rams.
You couldn't pick all Rams and then all Steelers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you could, but then you're wanting to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So you got to pick, I don't know.
Oh, man, I got
people
some research.
People love it. I mean, again, I'm not saying I don't like it. I just say personally for me, I didn't like
sure.
it. I don't like it because
I'm gonna try
I
it.
Have to root against sometimes my team.
So, Star Drew, you're a newbie, me too. That's okay. Well, we're going to learn. Have a great fall.
So, yeah, and it's been kind of impressive to see these, you know, quarterbacks.
Yes, my Baker's
Baker,
doing good.
Baker Mayfield's actually been doing
remember
well.
Remember we said, too, we were like, is he hope or hype? And
right. I remember Warren Moon said he wasn't sure about
yes.
him. And again, this is just
well, he
preseason.
He said too much swagger. To wait, like, he just had that young swagger.
Well, the Johnny Manziel type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think he's as bad as Manziel. But I think.
He came out. He came
anything's
out
anything's going to humble you, it's playing in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Because that's where quarterbacks go
oh,
to die.
I know, but I was so impressed.
And
with
Lamar
him.
Jackson, he was my favorite out of all the quarterbacks, and he
sure.
wasn't even the one that people talked about a lot. But he's, I mean, first game, but
yeah.
looks phenomenal.
He does. He does.
Ravens.
No,
and I love him.
Yeah.
I love him.
I know you do. I know you
I
do.
I know people are saying he's like a slash, you know, quarterback. He can do so much, but he stuck to his guns. He's going to play quarterback. And I think he's going to be, you know, he's going to be fun to watch. And then Josh Allen with the Bills.
Yeah.
And
how about Darnold?
Josh Rosen, the Cardinals. They've all been looking pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a really interesting season for sure. Do you think, I was going to ask you a question though. So Sam and Baker are so often compared. How do you think they're going to match up?
I don't know. I think, again, it's so hard to see in preseason.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you just, especially when they, you know, they're just, you know, different teams that
yeah.
are, you know, they pull their starters.
Sure, sure.
Sometimes in the first couple series.
Sure. Do you think they'll start?
So
one of them will start?
I mean, for Cleveland,
yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
Baker Mayfield,
yeah.
yeah. And then if he's got Dez as a target, that could be fun.
Right?
Right? We'll see.
Okay.
I mean,
it's still
so early.
Really
I'll be more, a little more convinced on some of these guys.
Yeah.
Actually the first, you know,
sure.
real
sure.
snap.
Yeah,
know,
it's like how much
season.
Can we really find out in preseason? Because there's so much, they're playing like, you know, the lowest of the lowest
yeah.
on their roster.
Now, are you going to be, the Rams are going to be a team that's who you're.
Yeah, I mean, it's in my blood. I have to be
and
a Rams
I always say
fan.
Steelers and Seahawks too, but your dad's a Seahawk fan.
No, so Seahawks were really just like our Pacific Northwest team because when the Rams were in LA in the very beginning of life for me, my dad has been a fan since they were in LA first, and they went to St. Louis. When they went to St. Louis, we didn't really have my dad and brother were still Rams fans, but we didn't have like any teams
right.
kind of near us. So Seattle was just kind of that team we like rooted for here and there. Now then they're back in LA. I'm like I have to be.
Well, and they're good. I mean they are going to be the team to beat
yeah.
in the NFC West.
Yeah.
The Niners are going to look great, but it's going to be the Rams.
It's going to be a good season for them. So, I mean, but like I said, anybody who knows me, it's in my DNA to be a Rams fan. And I'm a Pittsburgh Penguin fan.
That's
so
right.
not a Steeler fan.
I know, but why did I think you're also a Steeler fan a little bit?
I was probably like, if they're the only team left standing between like them and the 49ers, I'll root for them because I got Pittsburgh ties. But yeah.
So, but the Steelers can be your AFC team.
Yeah, they could. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you have Rams.
Yeah, it's
those
like the Kings
NFC
are my West Coast team and the Penguins are my East Coast team. So.
Right. So we will have to make sure you and I go and or bet on when the Rams play the Niners since they do that twice
okay.
a year.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll have to do that.
Eee!
And then I know you watch a little bit of soccer, right?
Yes. Yes, I do watch a little bit.
And so you were with the MLS.
Oh, my gosh. So Wayne Rooney, everybody.
Yeah, go in and talk about that.
If you live under a rock, shame on you. But Wayne Rooney, Oh my! There was like 10 seconds left of the game.
I saw the highlights.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
but
everybody probably saw this highlight. But Orlando City, Wayne Rooney came in for an assist and a tackle, and then launched, like, kicked the to an open net. Just like I'm so baffled. That's Wayne Rooney. Literally kicked the ball to his opponent that was like across the field.
We have to pull up the video if Marissa can pull that up.
Yeah, she'll grab that. Kicked the ball across the field, and then there was like a literal, I don't know how this kick made it into the goal, but in a matter of like 8 seconds, this one play happened because of Wayne Rooney. It was one of the most incredible soccer plays ever. And so they won the game. Yeah. Yeah, it's like for this century, it's one of the best soccer plays.
Really?
I mean, it's impossible for a long, and he just booked it. They could have literally lost the game in 7 seconds, and he tackled the player. I think we'll bring it up here. He tackled the player.
Is this over here?
Yeah. So they're about to lose the game here. Here comes Rooney.
Okay.
He gets the tackle.
We have some country music in the background.
I love it. And then I'm just, this moment. Look how far. I mean, we're talking almost half the field. And he headbutts it in.
Oh, wow.
For a win. So go DC United. That was a pretty impeccable soccer moment. So you soccer fans, we were all screaming about that.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was some big soccer news that happened for DC. And they're doing pretty well. So.
Yeah. What is the standings in
MLS right now? Let's take a little peek at MLS.
And I need to get to that new stadium. Here in Los Angeles.
It's so good. Yeah, the LAFC is killing it. Yeah, let's see what our soccer standings are, everybody.
I mean, I was really into MLS when with the Galaxy were doing well, and then I kind of just fell off
a
little bit.
Yeah. No, we'll let's bring this up here. Sorry, internet's moving slow, everybody. Let's see. We have... Thank you.
Oh, there we go. But I can't see that.
I can't see it either. I don't know why my internet is not working in here. But anyway, you guys, you can go to ESPN.com and just go to the soccer standings.
Marissa, who's
there.
Leading in the West? Western Conference?
In the West, we have FC Dallas.
Ooh, Dallas. Yeah. Bringing it in. Well, and even the Portland Timbers are in third. I'm not too sad about that.
Do you ever go to the Seattle Sound game? Those games are, like, ridiculous.
I've never been.
They are fanatic in Seattle for the... Yeah. Ridiculous.
Well, even the Galaxy. I mean, I used to work for them too. The Galaxy are no joke. So I actually want to go to LAFC.
When Bex was here, it was fun too.
Oh my gosh.
I went to that first game when he was in the uniform.
So we got Atlanta. We got Atlanta in the East, followed by New York, NYC. And then we've got, let's go to the West really quick. Let's see our top three. I know that Portland's in third, if my calculations are correct. Yeah, Portland's in third, KC's in second, and then Dallas in first. That's pretty amazing.
The Galaxy are fourth.
Yeah. And followed by LAFC, not too shabby for their inaugural.
Yeah, that stadium is sick. I have to go there.
So good.
And then also in baseball, now is the time where teams are, you know, trying to win the division or get a wild card spot. And I don't know who could possibly, you know, Boston's playing ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They got the best team record in baseball. So there, it would be interesting to see how. You know, this all plays out. Especially,
I know it's going to be
a lot of it's. You know, some it's crazy when you see how some divisions are so weak, but then you look at, you know, right now like the
Boston
National League, the West. You know, you've got the D-backs and the Dodgers and the Rockies and the Giants all kind of there. You know,
yeah,
and,
but the Dodgers are sinking a little bit, right?
Well, Jansen, they don't have their closer, and that's going to be a big, big, big deal.
And they just lost another player with the EKG issue.
Right.
I'm
Jansen. Yeah,
yeah, I'm worried about them.
Yeah,
I'm worried about them.
I'm not.
Back.
I'm happy. Beat LA.
We won last night.
It was great. We won because normally when Jansen comes in, I go, oh man, Dodgers are going to win this. Now there's no
all your teams
the
from the Bay.
I'm yes. But yeah, so
poor David. If David was here, his head would be spinning.
Well, because he's an Angels fan.
He is, but I mean LA, so he'd be fighting on the LA.
I think
for sure.
He probably would.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for this week.
I know that was a quick hour.
It was a quick hour. We'll be back again next week, and
we're gonna have Andy Bernstein.
Yes.
Photographer extraordinaire for the NBA. He's literally
awesome.
Shot
he's
everything.
He's been around forever.
Kobe's best friend, basically.
He's giving me like the best pictures I have because he gets like the candids that like, you know, that no one else gets. And he's been covering, I mean, NBA finals and everything forever.
Yeah.
So he's great. And then the week after that, you have someone else coming in from
Wags.
We
have Dominique from Wags.
Yeah.
So, yeah. couple weeks.
And then at the top of the month in September, we'll have the finally our news that we can break.
Get it.
So it'll be good. So good. Thank you for joining us on the Weekly Pass. I'm Bonnie Jo Laughlin, joined by Becky Sotero. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, yes, all of that.
Join our Twitter, please. Thank you for joining the chat.
Yeah, and Becky's been really good about Twitter. So
We're trying to grow that.
We'll keep doing that.
Tell your friends and family.
But until next week, we'll see y'all later. Thanks so much. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.